Hello, this is Pastor Wayne Anthony Lewis again from the Word Incorporated Church here in Toronto, where eyes are forever open and hearts are forever changed. Thank you for joining me today here on Selah. And I just want to jump into it. This has been on my heart. I entitled this message, Her Name is Grace. And it's about a woman in the Bible who goes nameless. We don't know her name. The only thing we know about her is her sin. Now, she's one of these people who's got caught on the videotape, so to speak. Her hand was in the cookie jar, so to speak. She got busted in her sin. And for the rest of her life and the rest of our days, we will know her as a woman who was found in adultery. The account takes place in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, please read the account. It's an amazing account because we see the side of Jesus. That not only Jesus in all wisdom, but mercy as well, and compassion, and grace. And I believe the Jesus that we see here is the Jesus that we should speak about more, and we should remember when we're contemplating whether or not we want to give our hearts to him and our lives to him. Now, essentially, what took place in this account is early in the morning, Jesus goes back to the temple and he's teaching, and the multitude of people are following him. You got to understand, when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, when he spoke, he changed things. He wasn't the norm. And everything that he said was truth. But not everyone enjoyed it. There were a group of people, specifically the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were the religious rulers. They didn't like him. Anyways, as Jesus was teaching, the Bible says that a woman was literally brought through the crowd and thrown at the feet of Jesus. And they said to Jesus that this woman was taken in adultery, and they sat her in the midst of him. So you got to understand, this is early morning. I mean, she was getting her groove on that night. And for some reason, they decided this is the time they're going to kick open the door and they grabbed her. I always say that the guy was fast like Usain Bolt, and he just dipped. He ran out of the place. And she was too slow, and they caught her, and they brought her to Jesus. Now, imagine the shame. Imagine the horror that she felt, that she was guilty of her sin. Now, in order to commit adultery, one of two things have to happen. Someone has to be married. Either the man was married, or this woman was married, or they both were married. But they were having a relationship, an intimate relationship with someone other than their spouse. So imagine how she felt, knowing that she was guilty and knowing that the punishment for adultery isn't like today, where there is a shaming campaign, or we call it an affair. And depending on, you know, if you cheated and you moved up in the social ladder, you get a round of applause and a bag of chips. No, they had rock concerts back in those days where literally people would grab the stones and they would start just throwing it at your head. And they kept on throwing it until you were dead. And how it worked in Jesus' time is that before the rock concert started, you would call the elders, the older men, the men of wisdom, the men who've been there and done that. And they would begin by throwing the stone first. And that would give the okay for everyone else. It's time to get your throw on. So here she is in the midst of Jesus and the crowd being accused of a crime, a sin that would cause her life. And what does Jesus do? I think this is key. The Bible says that Jesus did nothing but stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground as if he never heard them. Now, of course, Jesus heard everything. And of course, he knew everything. But his reaction was as if nothing happened. And I think that's where we sometimes get it twisted. That just because God doesn't do something, it doesn't mean that he slipped his mind or it's not really significant. I believe with this my whole heart, it's a sign of his grace. Now, it was the grace of God was one of the reasons why I'm here right now speaking to you. It's why for 20 years now I've been a born-again Christian. I recognize that I was one of those bad people. My sin was plenty. I done wrong, I said wrong, I thought wrong. But yet God still loved me. And at times I felt his blessings, like opportunities came, and I was like, this was only because of God. Well, they were saying to Jesus, but hold on, Moses in the law said that someone who commits adultery is supposed to get killed, to get stoned. What do you say? See, they wanted to trap him. They wanted Jesus to brush it off. They wanted Jesus to say, well, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, it's the year 00 or the year 33. Let's all kiss and make up. Who cares about it? But in fact, what he was saying by not saying anything was significant. It was the moment of truth where God's grace became bigger than the sin and bigger than the situation. Now, I don't know what you are going through in your life. I do not know. I don't know if you're struggling financially, or if you're struggling with a disease or with lust or whatnot, or you're angry at God or disappointed at the church, but I'm telling you, God's grace is huge. It's significant, and it's available to you. So finally, after the moments of silence and the crowd wondering what's happening and the Pharisees and the Sadducees demanding a response, Jesus says in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw the multitude, he said this, listen. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Powerful words. You see, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have all have done wrong and said wrong and thought wrong. And in the purest sense, no one should ever judge someone to the point of death, because we're all guilty of the same, if not worse. What happened was a moment of conviction that they all who heard it and who were about to start the rock concert felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they recognized and they realized that, my bad, I'm guilty, I'm wrong. And one by one, the Bible says, from the eldest to the youngest, they walked away. And verse 10, and this is the point that I was trying to get to earlier in John chapter 8. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Did you get that last part? You see, Jesus never okayed adultery. He told her that she was sinning. Don't do it again. But I'm not condemning you. That's grace. Grace is defined as when we receive something we do not deserve. I can't make it any plainer than that. And God deals with us in three ways: through justice, through mercy, and grace. The Bible says that, for grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. If you're listening to me today, and you're not saved, and you do not know God as your Lord and personal Savior, but you want to, you want to take that leap of faith, but you have all these questions. What if I fail? What if I can't find a church? Or what if I go back to church and you know, now I got a baby, or my relationship broke, or whatever the case may be? There are millions of reasons we give ourselves, or others give to us, why we shouldn't go back. But perhaps you're here today and you just want to know God for yourself. I want to encourage you to think on grace. That grace is when we receive something we do not deserve. Grace is the goodness of God on behalf of sinners who humbly acknowledge their own deficiency, thus a dependence upon grace for forgiveness and salvation. It's this grace that God freely gives to you and I who need it. And we all need it. We all need that touch from heaven. We all need that grace of God. We all need to be like that woman who I call Grace. In my eyes, her name is Grace, because she received from God what she didn't deserve. What she deserved was death because of her sin. Because adultery is evil. It's wicked. It ruins homes, causes divorce. It brings death. It brings so much pain and sorrow. And that's to the person who's committing it. Not let alone the one who got cheated on, and the families and the friends and the communities, and the list goes on. But because of the grace of God, she was forgiven and she was spared. And the Lord commanded her and said, go and sin no more. I love that. It really touches my heart. It really makes me wonder, what else don't I know about God? What else don't I recognize about how wonderful he is, and how much he loves me, and how much he loves you, and how much he loves us? And am I dealing with sin that I shouldn't deal with because of his grace and his mercy? Finally, I want to conclude with a quote from J.I. Packer, who described grace like this. Listen. What is grace? He asks. In the New Testament, grace means God's love in action towards men who merited the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who cannot lift a finger to save themselves. Grace means God sending his only son to descend into hell on the cross so that we guilty ones might be reconciled to God and receive into heaven. Has made him to be sin for us. who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. Praise God to whom all blessings flows. Thank you for listening to Her Name is Grace. Bye for now.